Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Joseph Lindsley is in Ukraine. It was a weekend of deadly Russian missile strikes. Joe, how are you today? What's happening?
Bob, well, today so far is calm here. Good afternoon from Lviv. Saturday was, yet another harrowing day. We had gone for such a long time without any massive missile attacks. There had been no alarms since January 6th. And so, you have an increasing sense of dread. And on Saturday morning, I couldn't really sleep. And I got up and I went to our news bunker, to the office, and was working before 8 o'clock. And friends in Kharkiv began to text me saying that their city was under attack. And then quite strangely, I heard a knock at my door, which is unusual at that hour on a Saturday. And, you're already, all senses are alert in these moments. And I opened the door, and the groundskeeper of our building was there. And the housekeeper and the groundskeeper live inside the building. And I opened the door, and he's standing there with his eyes closed and chanting. And I was very confused. And in the background, I hear alarms and ambulance sirens in the city. And then all of a sudden, the groundskeeper throws something on the floor. And it was these little seeds of grains of wheat. And then I realized it's a traditional Saturday was Old New Year's Day. And that was the traditional blessing. You go to your neighbors and friends and family's houses first thing in the morning on the Old New Year's, and you throw these grains on the ground and you give a blessing. So it's nice to see Ukrainians keeping these traditions, but also, especially on a day like Saturday, it was a nice way. It was nice to begin it with such a blessing, because then just a few hours later, the air raid alarms began to sound throughout the entire country, and it was. I had actually just finished a run as I was coming back home, and the alarm went off, and for the next several hours, you get constant messages reporting which direction the missiles are going. For example, at one point, I had a message saying group of 10 missiles heading to Kyiv. And then a few minutes later, the next message, those missiles that are heading to Kyiv have now changed course and are coming toward Lviv. Yeah, I just imagine as you see these to know that this stuff is coming your way. Some of these missiles within 2 minutes of launch, if they're launched from the Black Sea, within 2 minutes of launch can hit their target. And so the whole country was in this, atmosphere of utter fear and not knowing, which missiles are going where. And then all of a sudden, we got many reports of infrastructure being hit. And then, of course, the biggest damage, the big story, was the rocket that hit the apartment building in Dnipro. Ironically, that building is on a street called Victory Embankment. I was there in September, just a few blocks away, at a lunch with some volunteers. It's a neighborhood with lots of families, a pleasant place to live. And the rocket, the final report now, as of 1 o'clock today, they stopped the search and rescue in the building. 40 people were killed. Many were injured. And perhaps some of you have seen some of the videos from there. But the most harrowing to me, there's a video taken just moments after the rocket hit. You can still see the flames. And there's a woman in her flat. The walls are gone and most of the floor is gone. She's maybe 7 stories high. And she's standing there, and you can tell she's in utter shock, because moments before she was in her living room, and now it's open to the world. And it was an absolute atrocity. We've seen this since the beginning of the war, and these things continue. That night, everyone was a bit shaken throughout the whole country, angry and shaken. But even then, because it is still the Christmas season here, I was in a cafe in Lviv, and people were spontaneously singing the Christmas carols, the songs of the season. And I think, the spirit gets even stronger with each of these attacks upon the Ukrainian people.
It's unbelievable, the spirit of the Ukrainian people. And even though Russia continues to deny that they're targeting these civilian places, and it's amazing that they I think the first reports from Russia about that indicated that it was a Ukrainian missile, not a Russian missile. So given the fact that they are going after these non-military targets, I don't know how you can go about your business there in cafes, going out for a jog, and not think that your life is in danger. You're not on the front. You're not with the military, but their attacks have not been military places.
Yeah, it's the whole nation is the object of, you know, Russia seeks to destroy the entire nation. And this is clear if you go back and again and look at that, all the speeches Putin gave before the full scale invasion in February. There's a deep hatred for the Ukrainian people. There's a hatred for people who want to be free. And, you know, with these long range missiles that move so quickly, it's difficult for them to be precise. You know, once you're playing that game, they could hit anywhere. But this is, I just saw some people were sharing on social media here, a Russian magazine was doing a photo shoot in the destroyed city of Mariupol. And they were saying, oh, this is a cool place to get Instagram photos, you know, amid the ruins of this city. You know, there's a callousness. However that culture and society has developed, there's a callousness to the destruction and the death that is happening here. And that's why, you know, increasingly, Ukrainians are saying, on the ground, you know, they want. I think the big refrain now is more tanks, more heavy duty weapons to actually push back against Russia and not only be defensive. Because you can keep trying to shoot down these missiles, and the air defense really has worked pretty well. I mean, that rocket that hit the building in Dnipro was in many ways the exception. There were missiles heading to Lviv, but they were intercepted. And so we do see the great strengths of it, but all it takes is one, and you lose, you know, tons of humanity. And so the refrain from, and I was actually just meeting this morning at the Children's Hospital here with the Deputy Marshal of Poland, the Deputy Speaker of the Polish Parliament, and we're talking about the need to move toward victory more quickly, and the big question, for the world now is, you know, can Ukraine get more heavy duty tanks? There's a lot of dispute happening. Poland wants to give these Leopard tanks. They're made in Germany, but they need Germany's permission to get them to Ukraine. And meanwhile, Poland has made a deal to receive the more advanced Abrams tanks. So even though Poland's not currently fighting, they're going to get the more advanced tanks. The Pentagon has said the reason why Ukraine can't have the more advanced tanks is because they use too much gas, too much fuel. But as I was thinking about that, I'm walking the streets of Lviv, and Bob, the soundtrack of Lviv and most of the Ukrainian cities, all you can hear are the generators. Today I had to put on my noise-canceling headphones because it was driving me crazy, because all you hear is the sound of the generators. That uses a lot of gas. So the counterbalance to the contention that the Abrams tanks require a lot of gas is the more quickly you defeat Russia, the less expensive all this is going to be.
Well, Ukraine is going to need a lot of help. Putin now saying he plans to increase the Russian armed forces to 1.5 million. What's the reaction there to that?
Well, people laugh every time they think of Putin, I think, here. But because a lot of this is, I mean, maybe he will. But obviously everything he says is geared toward scaring the world. And that's exactly what he's doing now, because if we look at, again, you know, yes, it seems that Soledar has fallen into Russian hands. But again, as we talked about last week, that's Russians changing the real narrative is Ukraine has defended Bakhmut. 3 weeks ago, people thought Bakhmut was going to fall. And so that's actually a loss for Russia, that they've been unable to take it. And in these moments, it's when Putin responds with his fear-mongering propaganda, saying, OK, now a million people are going to, we're going to flood a million troops in your direction. That's designed to scare the West from giving additional support to Ukraine.
Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine, we pray for your safety and for the people there. What a great spirit everyone has in the face of all this. And we'll hope for more peace in the next little while here. But I know you're bracing for the worst. By the way, is it still warm there? I hope
it's above freezing. It's in the 30s. We're holding on, but it's warmer than Moscow. We'll say that.
We'll end on that good note. Thank you, Joseph. We'll chat tomorrow.
Thank you, Bob.